I'll state the obvious. But he was born as an Ezraite, was a vow unto God saying that he wouldn't cut his hair, that he wouldn't drink of alcohol, and that he wouldn't be around or touch the dead, animal or person. So far as we've gotten up to this point, in chapter 14, he got around the dead. He actually went back to a lion that he killed. A blessing that God gave him of his strength went back to it and sinned against it. Then he went on to get married, and during this marriage, he had a seven-day feast. Basically, what it is a drunken party for a week. How many of you guys have done that in the past? I'm not going to ask who does that now, but so already he's done two of those three things that was a vow to God that he wouldn't do. He went on to marry a Philistine, basically marrying the enemy is what he did. And as he did this, she turned against him. So a lot of times when we go against what we believe, we go against different things, it'll come back to hurt us. And the same thing happened with Samson. But as he did that, where we're starting off in chapter 15, at this time when she deceived him, her father said, well, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give her away to your best man. How awesome would that be at your wedding? And at your party afterwards, your father-in-law decides to give your spouse away to your best man. I don't know, but I wouldn't be too happy. I mean, just think about that. But let's go on to chapter 15. And now we're to that point. His wife's been given away. It says, after a while, in the time of wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. And he said, let me go to my wife and into her room. But her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. So then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. So they're jackals, basically interpreted as foxes, but they're basically a little larger than a fox, probably between the size of a wolf, a little smaller than a wolf, but larger than a, the coyote. If you look it up, the pictures of it, you'll notice it looks like a fox, but a little larger. It says, so Samson went and caught 300 of them. And he took torches. So imagine that. He caught 300 of these. First of all, I think it'd be hard enough just to spot 300, much less catch them. It says he took torches. He turned the foxes tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. So you guys visualizing that? You've got these here. They've got torches in their tails between them. It says, when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and the olive groves. So he had burned up everything. All their food, their way to produce money, everything there, he burnt it up. So then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. So what she did is she turned her back on Samson in order to save her life. And when she turned her back on him, in the end, it ended up taking her life. I want to stop right there. And think about that in our lives. That how many times do we turn our backs on God? Do we turn our backs on Christ, on our Savior? The one that's there to save our lives, that we end up turning our back on, which can end up taking our life in the end. The one that gives us eternal life, the one that says, hey, I'm here to save you. I'm here for you. That what she did is she turned her back and ended up killing her in the long run. Verse 7, it says, Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you. And after that, I will cease. So it says the Philistines came and burned her and her father with fire. He says, how could you do that? That was my wife. You know what? I'm going to have revenge on you now. So this guy, Samson, was pretty much one of our first superheroes. He really was. He was one of our first, where I think we get the whole picture of superheroes. That he had, as we go on, he had this incredible strength. But if you look at Clark Kent, and you saw him on the street, you wouldn't think he had any incredible strength about him. You wouldn't think he was very strong. But he turned into Superman, and there is the strength, and the things happen. The thing with Samson is, he alone didn't have strength. I like to paint the picture that Samson wasn't this guy that you see on the cartoons and you see on the pictures of Samson being this large man that tore down towers and ripped a lion apart and did all these things. No, I believe if he was, then the significance there of people wondering where he get his strength from, they wouldn't wonder that. If a large man came in and destroyed things, you'd say, wow, he was a strong man. You wouldn't have everybody and their brother wondering where his strength came from. So I picture him as a smaller man. That when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he received his strength. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, he received his strength. The problem here is, a lot of times when we have gifts, we have blessings, let it go to our head. We start beginning to think, wow, look what I can do. We begin to take, as we talked about last week, how singers have this great gift, a gift that I don't have, and I won't prove to you that I don't have it, but they have this gift, this voice, and so many times those with some of the greatest voices turn away from the one that they received it from. They turn away from God. They begin to use it to glorify themselves instead of glorify God. I try to think about what Samson could have done in his life. As we're reading so far, that the gift that was given to him, he used it out of his anger. How much more could he have done for God if he were to begin to use the gift that was given unto him for God? That no matter what gift it may be in your life, no matter what abilities you may have, to begin to use it for God. Verse 7, Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock of Etam. So sin, because he first sinned, right? He became unequally yoked with an unbeliever, with a Philistine, that his first thing that he did caused him to sin, right? So one sin leads to another. Let's think about this. So then he went out, he caught all his foxes, and he burned up everything. He took revenge on them. What happened? They took revenge back and killed his wife and father-in-law. So he turns around again and takes revenge back against them. So that one little thing that a lot of times we think isn't too bad, how many times does it come back to burn us over and over again? How many times that we think, oh, it's not much? I remember in my past, even little lies to the fact of telling your boss a lie on why you can't come to work today. Anybody out there? The lie of that, of how it'll become a huge lie. figure, well, you'll tell that little lie that your grandmother passed away or your grandfather passed away, one that you think they'd never know. Next thing you know, they're getting you flowers, doing all these things, letting you off a few more days, and you begin to find yourself lying to cover up a lie over and over again. That every little thing, no matter what we do, if it's a sin, it can cause greater sins. I believe the church a lot of time has forgotten the thing that a little sin is a sin. It doesn't matter how great or how small. In God's eyes, a sin is a sin. But we try to compromise and think, oh, well, that sin's okay. Well, I can do this because I'm not doing that. I can do whatever because at least I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Or do you know what so-and-so does? We try to cover up different things in our lives. It said his strength came from God. It says, now the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. And then the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson to do him as he has done to us. And then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this that you have done to us? And he said to them, as they do to me, so I have done to them. This guy really likes getting revenge on people. He really likes... he has a lot of anger inside of him. And I think a lot of it comes from the pride that he begins to build up in his life. Of the part of, don't they know how strong I am? Don't they know who I am? I'm Samson. I won't let them get away with this. It says, verse 12, but they said to him, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said, and swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. It says, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord, here it is, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burnt with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands. How many times in our lives do we give up because the situation looks impossible? Because he was tied up, and could have thought, wow, now I've been delivered in their hands, there's nothing left to do. That when things in our lives come and we're praying for a miracle, we're praying that God does something, but we give up when it was just time for the miracle to take place. It can't be a miracle until it becomes impossible. So a lot of times we pray to God, God, give me a miracle, Lord. We say, Lord, help me here. God, my house is getting foreclosed on. I've got a family, I've got kids, we have nowhere to go, Lord. I have a week to pay it, or they're kicking me out. And then you get the notice of eviction that it's time to leave. And all of a sudden, all hope is gone. All of a sudden, you give up. And you say, God didn't come through for me. But at that time was when God could have shown the greatest miracle. At that time that don't give up when it looks impossible. When it looks impossible, look at God and say, okay, God, this must be your time. Okay, God, this is what I've been waiting for, the great miracle. God, this is what I've been waiting for you to come in. Stand your ground. Stand on what you believe. That he could have given up, but no. The power of the Lord mightily came upon him, that he broke free. It says he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. It says they're about, in that time, about 9 inches. Reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. He killed 1,000 men. So when the Spirit of the Lord was on him, he had that strength. It says, then Samson said, now listen to this, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Key word there, I have slain 1,000 men. I've been there. God gives you strength to overcome something. God gives you power and ability to do something. God works miracles in your life. And all of a sudden you say, look what I did. I told you I'd get out of that situation. Look, I killed them. It was me. I slain. He started singing. I slain 1,000 men. Look at me. Look how great I am. The problem is that pride issue. He took credit for what God's power could do. I've prayed for people. The miracle comes. They have faith in it. And afterwards, they give no credit to God. Afterwards, it was, well, I was strong enough to overcome it. Afterwards, it was, well, it was the medicine. Well, it was the doctors. Well, it wasn't as bad as they thought. That we go to God asking for a miracle. When the miracle happens, we take credit for it. I've had that happen in different places. In the job place and so many other places that I've done things and somebody else took credit for it. You guys ever had that happen? That you've done something, but you know what? There's when you just swallow your pride and say, you know what, God? I give it unto you. You know what, God? Who cares? Doesn't matter who did it. I've had that happen in the church place, another church. That I put this whole thing together and it went great as planned and somebody else took the credit for it. And I said, you know what, God? Instead of getting mad, I said, God, I was doing this for you, not for glory or credit of man. God, that whatever I do behind the scenes, you'll bless me. I'm not looking for blessings of man, but I'm looking for blessings from God. I'm looking for something greater. So God, I'm doing this because I love you. That's when your true heart comes out. When you say you do something because you love someone, because you love God, and then they don't thank you for it, they don't give you credit for it, they don't show that they're appreciated, especially with these times of outreach, that we're showing God's love. We're doing this for you, God. Somebody doesn't show appreciation. Well, can you believe them? I'm not going to help them anymore. I'm not going to do this. Wait. I thought you were doing it for God. Were you doing it for the glory of man or the glory of God? And that's where you need to, with showing God's love, is a love that you're not looking for something back. Is a love that's saying, God, I'll show an unconditional love to your people as you show an unconditional love to me. What if God did that to us? That every time he blessed us with something, every time he came through, every time he did something, that he'd stop doing it when we forgot to show him thanks. We'd probably all be laying here dead right now, because how many of you wake up in the morning and say, God, thank you for letting me breathe another day? Some of you, that's awesome. That's awesome. But what if one morning you forgot? And God's like, they don't appreciate it. Forget it. I'm pretty sure that all of us wouldn't be here today. But because of God's love is unconditional, how great our Lord is. Samson began to do the same things a lot of us do. We use the power God gives us for evil instead of righteous. We use our gifts, we use different things against God instead of for him. But here's the cool thing, right? Is God brought Samson in to deliver his people from the Philistines, basically to take out the Philistines. So what Satan thought he was doing out of Samson's anger, God used it for good. God used it to help overcome the Philistines. God used it for something greater. Look at your life. Look at the testimony in your life. The things that you've done wrong. You know what? It may not have been right whatsoever. But now you can begin to use that testimony for God. You can begin to say, look where I was. Look what I've done and what God, not me, look what God has brought me out of. Look where God has taken me from where I was. Begin to give credit to God for what he's done. You know, he had power, but he was not able to use it unless where he was where he needed to be. Then it goes on, we're getting ready to read that the power to do anything wasn't always there. That a lot of times we think we can do it all. We think we've got everything covered. And then all of a sudden we get a shock and we go, wow, I can't do all this on my own. Wow, God, this isn't all about me. Pride is born out of insecurities. The insecurities of not knowing who you are in Christ. That we get prideful, beginning to say, look at me. Look what I've done. Because we truly don't know who we are in Christ. When you begin to find out who you are in Christ, you could care less of what people think of you. You could care less of what people think you've accomplished or you've done. All you care about is giving glory to God. Because you find out, wow, when you find out who you are in Christ, you find out that really, you're nothing. You're no one on your own. You can do nothing without Christ who strengthens us. That's when you begin to find out who you are. That's why I believe so many times people turn to the church or turn to God, it's when they've fallen flat on their face and lost it all. When they've hit rock bottom, because they can finally realize, oh, wow, I can't do this on my own. Oh, wow, I'm not as great as I thought I was. But begin to find yourself in Christ. You know, I'll goof off with the wife and I'll say, honey, did you see what I did? Honey, did you see how strong I was? Did you see that, honey? Did you like that? Did I impress you? And she usually says no. But a lot of times it's because I don't think that she saw it. Or two, it's because I don't think that she thinks I am who I think I am. She probably doesn't think that I could have done that. Did you see that, honey? That was good, wasn't it? She's like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. But it has nothing to do with what we can do. And love shouldn't come from someone else for what you can do. But true love in everything we do comes from the Father. Without Christ, without God, you wouldn't know what love was. We wouldn't know what love was. It was because he first loved us. He showed us true love. From day one, God showed us true love. What God did from day one is he created an earth. He created a place and a people to love him. To love him. What did he want? He wanted to share love with us. He wanted to show us how much he loved us. And he wanted us to love him back. You know, in Proverbs 16, 18 through 19, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Well, let's go over to the Message Bible. In the Message it says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. It says it's better to live humbly among the poor than to live it up with the big, rich, and famous. It's better to be humble, guys, and have nothing than to have received it all and become prideful. Could be a lot of reasons that when we ask of material things, why we don't always get it. I did. I received a lot of what I asked for. And what happened was, I fell into that old, look how good I am. Had a cell phone company. I said, wow, I'm one of the greatest salesmen around. Look what I can do. Look at me. And I began to look at my blessings over the blesser. I began to look at what I could receive instead of what I could give. Now, I believe a lot of receiving things is so that it allows us to give more. It allows us to be able, the more knowledge we receive, the more knowledge we can give. The more of whatever it is in your life, the more ability you have to give it away. That I love the opportunity to give it away. But when pride gets in the way, it becomes about you instead of about God. Don't let your weaknesses overcome your strengths. He was strong, but had no strength when it came to self-control. When he saw a woman, he had to have her. It goes on, as we're going to talk about next week. He didn't have his wife anymore. He went to a prostitute. He found another woman. This, that, he did so many different things because of his lack there of self-control. He was angry. He was full of lust and full of pride. Think about what he could have done for God if he would have had self-control. Think about what more of a man he could have became for Christ if he would have put the things of the flesh aside and said, you know what? I'm living for one thing and one thing only. For my God, that he's given me strength. This is where my strength comes from. You know, sometimes God wants you to do something or be someone, but he's looking for a man that has self-control first. He's looking for a man that's not going to fall on his face as soon as he receives it. He's looking for a man that says, you know what? I'll crucify my flesh daily. I'll crucify my flesh and I'll live for you, Christ. I will live for who you want me to be. So, Satan used the God-given gifts to satisfy the lust of the world. That the gifts God gave him, he used it to satisfy the lust of the world. He couldn't fulfill God's plan for his life till he put God first and realized that he was supposed, who he was supposed to be living for. So many of us say that we want God's will for our life, but we never allow him to have it. God, I want your will for my life. And we continue to live the same way we always did. God, I want your will for my life. But no, I'm not giving that up. But no, God, I know I need to live for the spirit, but the flesh is too strong. I mean, that's not giving up. God, I want your will for my life, but except for in that area. That God's waiting for a man to stand up and truly say, God, you can have my life. God, I live for you and for you alone. Let's continue to read. It says, and so it was when he had finished speaking that he threw the jawbones from his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. Then he became very thirsty. Listen to this. So he could do all these things, but he came very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, so he got done killing all these men, okay? He killed all these men, and afterwards, he's so thirsty. He realizes, man, I can do all this, but I can't even quench my thirst. Now he's like, oh man, I know who could do this. God could do this. He's like, God could do this. Let me go to God now. Now that I've gotten my glory and stuff, let me go to God and see what he can do. So he said, then he became very thirsty and he cried out to the Lord saying, so a minute ago we just heard him say, I have slain 1,000 men. Now he says, you, Lord, You have given me this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. So all of a sudden, it changed. It went from, look who I am, look at what I've done, to, oh wait, God did this. My bad. God did this. It says, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? Really, God? You got me through this, Lord. Look what you've done. Help me. Same thing I did in my life with my business. As the business began to fall certain times, the sales weren't as good, I'd go back to God and say, God, please bless me. Thank you for what you've done so far, Lord. Lord, help me. Help me sell more, God. God, you've given me this gift, Lord. And then when things are down, we go back to God. And when things are great, we fall away from him. So God decides, you know what? I'm not done with him. I'm not done with him. I'm not going to let him die here. I'm going to go ahead and show another miracle in his life. It says, so God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and the water came out, and he drank. And his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore, he called it the name En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. And the judges of Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So guys, with this pride issue that he had, it's either you are proud or God is proud. Think about that. Either you're proud or God is proud. And if you're proud and got pride, God's not proud. I would much rather him be proud of me than me be proud of myself. To be where he wants us to be, when you give up your pride, you make God proud. That maybe you're sitting here today and you go, well, I don't have an issue with pride. Maybe you do. Are you proud right now that you don't have an issue with pride? I've heard people say that before. Oh no, I'm very humble. You wouldn't believe how humble I am. I'm like, oh Lord, where do we start? I'm just going to start by praying. But in the end, he was thirsty and realized he couldn't do it by himself anymore. He realized this. He realized, wow, I can't do it all by myself. I need you, God. When he returned to God, God came through for him. How awesome is that? That so many times we turn our back on God. We begin to look to glorify ourselves. And then all of a sudden, we realize we need him. And we have such a merciful God that God says, you know what? Here I am. Here I am. I'll be there for you. I'll help you. Such a great love that our Father has, that all we can ever do is try to be like him. We can never accomplish the love that he has, but we can live our lives trying. We can live our lives trying to be someone that he wants us to be. When he was weak was when he became strong. So many times when we're weak, that's when we find out who we really are. That's who we find out who we need to be. That's when we allow God to move. That we allow him to do something in our lives. If you let your heart lead you to God, he will fulfill your heart. He will fulfill those desires if you allow yourself to be led to him. If you allow yourself to be led by him, he will begin to fulfill those desires of your heart. So many times we try to fulfill things ourselves. As Samson did, he looked at the desires of his flesh. He tried to fulfill desires of his flesh. To realize all it did was put him in a worse state than he was before. That it caused more anger and trouble than he was originally in. The only way to stay strong daily is to be on your knees daily. It's to pray to God daily. And so many things that Christ said in the Bible, he said, daily, daily, daily. I think we talked about that Tuesday night. Daily. I am your daily bread. Crucify yourself daily. That it doesn't mean today take credit for it. Tomorrow, give God the credit. Today, you can take some credit for yourself. Tomorrow, give the credit to God. No, daily crucify yourself. Daily crucify your flesh. But in the end, I leave you with this. In the end, he gave credit where credit was due. He gave credit to God, and God delivered him. That he was sitting there, took all this credit for everything he had done, and realized it meant nothing without God. It meant nothing. All the things that we can do on this earth, all the things that he accomplished and conquered that he took credit for, he finally realized, wow, God, without you, I'm done. Without you, God, I'm going to die. Did he realize, no, Lord, I need you today. God, I need you. Deliver me out of this, Lord. That he gave credit to God, and God came through for him. So I'm going to tell you today, whatever area you are in your life, wherever you stand with God today, that if you just turn it over to him, he'll be there for you. He'll love you. He'll come to your rescue. He'll deliver you out of whatever you need delivered from. He's waiting for you to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you today. Let's pray.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.